This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما المؤمنون إخوة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Respected علماء كرام Dear friends and my beloved elders in Islam, one of the greatest challenges of our time, not only for the Muslim community, but for the entire humanity at large, is how to deal with migration. And this is something we really need to talk about. And when we are talking about migrating, we are not talking about migrating from one country to another. Together with that, we are talking about migrating from one place to another. Respected elders and friends, it has become very important for us to talk about this issue due to the chaos which was heard and seen in the last few weeks. What is the Islamic concept regarding this issue? What does Islam say about it? What are the examples that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind? And what is the solution about this whole issue we are talking about? You see, when the Sahaba migrated from Makkah to Medina together with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to integrate the two different communities, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created brotherhood amongst them. That's the famous example of migration. And you will never find such an example in the past or in the history which the Sahaba left behind of that brotherhood. Today, unfortunately, we have left these beautiful examples of Islam. Rather than explaining these examples to others, we have kept them to ourselves. We have to take the beauty of Islam and we have to make others understand what Islam says regarding this issue. So inshallah, I will try and highlight a few points. Firstly, for immigrants, for those people who migrate from one place to another. And secondly, few points for those who receive them, the local people, the people who belong to that place. So the first point, the immigrants are supposed to keep in their mind is that they are supposed to correct their intention. So there is a famous hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must have all heard of that hadith. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ We must have heard of this hadith. That the meaning of this hadith is that every action is rewarded according to the intention. Now, do you know when this hadith was narrated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was narrated on the occasion of migration. One Sahabi was migrating from Makkah to Medina. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this hadith. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ Every action is rewarded according to the intention. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ If someone has to migrate for the sake of Allah and His Rasul, then he's going to get the reward of pleasing Allah and His Rasul. If someone has to migrate for achieving the worldly benefits, then he's going to receive the worldly benefits. So now what do we understand from this hadith? We understand that whenever we go to a new place, as immigrants, our first intention is supposed to be spreading the word of Allah, spreading the religion of Allah. First intention. And then secondly, going out looking for sustenance. There is nothing wrong in that. Even that is a rewardable act, to go out and look for sustenance, to feed the family, it is a rewarding act. But that should be our second intention. The first intention should be to spread the word of Allah. With the famous example which we find here in Zambia, Firstly, when the Asians, the Indian brothers, when they migrated to Chipata, they were disallowed with the trading permit. They were not given permission to trade. So they wrote a letter to the scholars of that time that we are facing an issue in this matter. So the scholars replied that change your intention. Correct your intention. Make intention that you are there to spread the word of Allah. And when the letter was received and the people acted accordingly, in a very few days, the permission was granted. That's the example we have in front of us. So we have to change our intention. That's the first advice for the immigrants. The second advice, learn to respect the values, the norm, the cultures, the infrastructure of the place you are migrating to. It is very important for you to understand the people and the law of the place you are migrating to. There is no need of unnecessary objection. There is no need of saying that I used to be at this place and this is how it used to be done. So now when I am coming to this place, I have to change it. No. Don't be stubborn about it. Adopt it. If it is something which is not against your Sharia, if it is something which is clearly against your Sharia, then fine. Bring it up. Discuss it. It is not going to change in a day. It will take time. But at the same time, don't forget to respect the values of the place you are staying in. There is no need of unnecessary objection. Like this Chinese man, like this Indian man, when he went to China and he asked the Chinese man that, what is your population? And the person replied, 2 billion. 2 billion. So the Indian man said that, do you people do anything else apart from making babies? So that is unnecessary objection. Now look at who's even questioning that. It's an Indian man. The second biggest population, the largest population of the world. So let us learn to value and respect the place we are staying in. I still remember, I was in Pulungu, there is a place by the border of Tanzania, it is in Zambia. So I went there, and I never knew that it is a culture there that when a janaza is passing by, when a funeral is taking place, you are supposed to stop your car in respect of the person who has passed away. I never knew about that. I carried on. The people got angry on me. Supposed to stop your car. I stood. And the other brother who was with me explained to me. Now, how much did that harm me? It didn't harm me. It made me look like a good citizen. And at the same time, I showed that I respect the values of this place. So that is what we are supposed to understand. The third advice for the people who migrate to another place is that today we have just learned how to receive and not give back. In the past, whenever Muslims migrated to any place, they received and they gave back. Unfortunately, in the last 2-3 centuries, we have just been receiving. We are not giving it back to the place we belong to. Look at the example at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, when we start giving, people will respect. People will respect. At the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was supposed to take place, who did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose from the Sahaba to go into Makkah and talk to the enemies? He chose Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Do you know the reason why he chose Hazrat Uthman? Because Hazrat Uthman was the most generous person amongst the Sahaba. He was respected by the people of Quraysh, by the enemies, by the Sahaba, way before Islam because of his generosity. In fact, it comes in narrations that the people of Quraysh used to love Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala so much that when they used to sing lullaby for their children in order to make them sleep, they would sing that, oh my child, go to sleep. I love you more than the people of Quraysh love Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. That is the kind of love people of Makkah had for Uthman because he was generous. He used to give. Today we have stopped giving. Today we are only taking, we are not giving back. Let us give back to the place we are receiving it from, friends. That's the third advice. I mean, look at the example of Spain. When the Muslims went to Spain, what did they do? They gave them everything. They gave them support. They gave them, they taught them cleanliness. They gave them peace. They gave them justice. Today, yes, we are trying on a certain level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for that. But we are talking about a bigger picture. We are talking about a broader picture. Let us give in the path of Allah. And you will see the respect which the Muslims had in the past will come back. Now, these were the three advices for the immigrants, for the people who migrate to a new place. Now, few pieces of advice for those, for locals, for those people who have been staying in that place for years and who receive these immigrants. What is their role? Firstly, as locals, we are supposed to understand and we are supposed to acknowledge and accept the fact that migration took place in the past, it is taking place right now, and it will take place in the future. You can't stop it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Ardullahi wasya, the land of Allah is vast. So people are going to migrate. There is a famous book by the name Arrival City. The author of this book is Doug Sanders. He writes a research in this book that around the globe, around the world, 2 billion people have migrated. How many? 2 billion people have migrated. And he doesn't only count people migrating from one country to another. He counts people migrating from one place to another within the country. Look at the example of this masjid. You'll find people from Egypt. You'll find people from India. You'll find people from Lebanon. Amongst the local brothers, you will find people from Chipata coming to Lusaka. People from Lundazi coming to Lusaka. Right now I met a student by the name of Muhajir. I asked him where he's from, he said from Chipata. Even his name is Muhajir, a person who migrates. So you can't stop that fact, you have to acknowledge the fact that people have migrated in the past, they are migrating right now, and they will be migrating in the future. How many people are you going to fight with? 2 billion people migrating around the globe, that's a third of humanity. A third of humanity. So let us accept this fact. The second piece of advice for locals is that when a person migrates from one place to another, things are not always easy for them. Things are not always in their favor. Sometimes it might be, they might have to struggle. They leave behind their families. They leave behind their wealth. Look at the example of Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was migrating from Makkah to Medina, he left all of his wealth in Makkah. And he was caught outside by the people of Quraysh. So the people of Quraysh wanted to attack. So Suhaib Rumi said to them that, look, I am one of the best archers of Makkah. I'm not going to sit back and relax and let you people harm me. Why don't we make a deal? Whatever I have left in Makkah, take it, my wealth and my house, and let me migrate. So look at the case of Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala. It wasn't easy for him to migrate. So sometimes that is the case for an immigrant you receive. The second thing, the thing which we are supposed to understand from this story is that we are supposed to support them, the immigrants, like the Sahaba from Medina supported the Sahaba from Makkah. You see, when the Sahaba migrated from Makkah to Medina, there a battle took place, and after the battle, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received a lot of wealth. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the people of Medina and he said to them that, look, this wealth I want to distribute amongst everyone, but if you allow me to distribute it amongst the people of Makkah, then it will make them independent. It will make them stand on their legs if you people have to allow. So the people of Medina say that, O Prophet of Allah, give everything to them. And after you give everything to them, even then we will support. This is the support the locals showed to the people who migrated. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. That when the people from Makkah migrated to Medina, the people of Medina loved them and they supported them and they gave preference to them even in the times of necessity. In the last, I would like to leave one example from the lives of the Sahaba and one quotation of one famous Sahabi in order for us to understand that, in order for us to understand the gravity of this sin. The first example is that upon one occasion, there was an argument between the Sahabi of Makkah and Medina. So the Sahabi from Makkah shouted out to his people that, oh, people of Makkah, come and assist me. And the Sahabi from Medina shouted out to his people that, oh, people of Medina, come and assist me. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard these sentences, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry. And he said to them that, I've come to unite you, and you people are disuniting yourselves. And this sentence which you people are uttering is the sentence of ignorance. And there is smell coming out. And this sentence stinks. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them. The other thing we have to understand, what Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who said, that yes, in order to create unity, you are going to face difficulty. In order to create unity, you are going to face difficulty. But the difficulty which you will face in creating unity is going to be less painful than the difficulty which you will face when you are disunited. When we will try and unite ourselves, sometimes we might have to bow down. Sometimes we might have to forgive. Sometimes we might have to take a no from someone else in order to create unity. But the difficulty which we will face when we are disunited is going to be worse. What we saw in the last few days in South Africa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect one and all. So let us understand the fact, brothers, that as Muslims, innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, we are one ummah, we are brothers. When one part of my body has to pain, my whole body feels the pain. If my finger gets hurt, I won't ignore the finger saying that it is the finger which is hurt. I will take care of that finger. So as Muslims, we are one ummah and we are one body. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.